The message for today comes from Mark chapter 2, verse 23, through Mark chapter 3, verse 6. This passage of Scripture describes something that happened on two consecutive Sabbath days. And so the end of chapter 2 describes one of them, and then the beginning of chapter 3 describes the other one. And so the theme of the Sabbath day carries over from the end of chapter 2 into chapter 3. I want to read to you Mark chapter 2, verse 23 through 3, verse 6. And this is what it says. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. I think it's ironic that the Pharisees and the Herodians were usually antagonistic with each other. But on this occasion, in order to figure out how to destroy Jesus, they got together and they became friends. The most fundamental set of rules that govern mankind on the face of this earth is the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments came directly to Moses from God and to the world through the nation of Israel. The Ten Commandments set forth what God requires of man. The Fourth Commandment says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." We have come to a place in the Gospel of Mark where Jesus is involved in a controversy over the fourth commandment, the commandment that has to do with the Sabbath day. The controversy emerged from the activities of Jesus and his disciples on two successive Sabbath days. On the one Sabbath day, they were walking through the grain fields, and Jesus' disciples were hungry, and so they began to pluck the heads of the grain, and they rubbed it between their hands, and they ate it. And the Old Testament law allowed for that. It was a provision that was made in the law for people to do that. On the following Sabbath day, Jesus entered a synagogue, and there was a man there with a withered hand. And the Pharisees were there, and they were watching him to accuse him, to see whether he would heal this man. And if he did, they would accuse him of breaking the Sabbath day. Well, Jesus did heal the man with the withered hand. In this passage of Scripture, the question is asked by the Pharisees, look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? That is the question that concerns us today. What is unlawful on the Sabbath? And the first point is this. If Jesus was the Son of God, He would not do what is unlawful on the Sabbath day. This is the assumption behind the question asked by the Pharisees, and it is a correct assumption. The Son of God would certainly not do anything to violate the Sabbath day. Jesus was the Son of God. He was proving Himself to be the Son of God. And He would not do anything to violate the Sabbath day. You'll notice that the question asked by the Pharisees accuses Jesus' disciples of violating the Sabbath day. Why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? So there is an accusation here that Jesus' disciples were breaking the Sabbath. But what lies behind the accusation is a challenge of the deity of Jesus Christ. The question is asked of Jesus' disciples, but Jesus is implicated as their leader. If He really was from God, then He would not break the Sabbath. The Pharisees were the religious elite of the day. They were the clergy and the church officials of the day. The rabbis and the Pharisees had put together an extensive commentary on the law of God. This commentary was a supplement to the law of God, and it was meant to interpret and to explain the law of God. It was not inspired literature, and it was not even authoritative, but it came to be treated as such. This supplemental commentary on the law of God is called the Mishnah. The Mishnah is part of a larger set of commentaries on the law of God called the Talmud. The Talmud still exists today, and you can read it, and it's thousands of pages long. It's the commentary by all of these Jewish rabbis and teachers. In the Mishnah, there is a list of 39 categories of work that is prohibited on the Sabbath day. The third category in that list is reaping. The Pharisees interpreted what the disciples were doing as reaping, and therefore they considered it a violation of the Sabbath day. On the next Sabbath day, when Jesus healed the man with the withered hand, it was healing on the Sabbath that was questioned. The Pharisees would have allowed for the healing if the situation was life-threatening, but since it was not life-threatening, they considered this to be a violation of the Sabbath day. Religion sometimes can be the worst form of ungodliness. These Pharisees were at odds with Jesus because He did not abide by the religious rules that they had made up. Here was a society of men who had formulated their own rules to apply to the law of God. Along comes Jesus, who is God in the flesh, the author of the law, who certainly knows the real intention of the law, and these men criticize Him for not applying the law their way. It is a case of the Creator being judged by the creature. These creatures became so attached to their own rules and regulations that they rejected their own Creator and wanted to kill Him. And what's more surprising, the Pharisees and the Herodians were usually at odds with each other, but they became comrades together in this plot to kill Jesus over this. The Pharisees would rather kill the Creator than to admit that they had misinterpreted His law. They were the ones who had misinterpreted the law. They were the ones who were misapplying the teaching of the law. They were the ones who violated the law, not Jesus. Now that leads to the second point, and the second point is this. Jesus did not do what is unlawful to do on the Sabbath day. In this conversation with the Pharisees, Jesus said, "The Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." He was talking about Himself. He claimed to be the Lord of the Sabbath. As the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus certainly knows what violates the Sabbath. He justified the Sabbath behavior of His disciples by appealing to the Old Testament Scriptures and laying down a principle. The passage of Scripture that Jesus cited refers to an episode in the life of King David. King David and his men went to the house of God. They were hungry. The priest had nothing for them to eat except some of the consecrated bread, which was forbidden by the law to be eaten by anybody but the priests. David and his men took that bread and ate that bread, and God did not condemn them for doing it. The principle that Jesus lays down is that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And I understand that to mean that the good of man and the need of man takes precedence over any Sabbath rules, restrictions, or prohibitions. Jesus indicates here that the narrowness with which the scribes interpreted the law was not in accordance with the tenor of Scripture. Jesus argues that the tradition of the Pharisees is unduly stringent and exceeds the intention of the law. The problem with the Pharisees was that they established a tradition of their own making, and then they allowed it to have preeminence over the law of God. Soon their traditions became more authoritative than the law of God, and the truth of the Word of God was overlooked. The Word of God becomes subservient to tradition. If we're not careful, we can do the very same thing. We do the very same thing. We have done the very same thing. It happens in our own day. Religious people develop traditions, and then the traditions take preeminence over the Word of God. Elizabeth Elliot struggled with this matter of tradition versus the Word of God when she was a missionary among the Stone Age Aka Indians in South America. And this is what she said. This is what she wrote. "I had been taught in a Christian home, in Christian schools and college, that certain activities, certain modes of eating and drinking and dressing, certain places were worldly. As I sat in my hammock in Taiwanan, I went over these rules, trying to decide how, if at all, they might apply to the Aka people, or if they did not apply, whether I was justified in applying them to anyone, and what rules might be relevant for the Akas and the rest of us. Some groups of Christians in civilized America believe it to be important to dress in a certain way. How was one to regard this view of worldliness in a society where no one dressed at all? If the Aka was to put on clothes, was he to put on a certain kind of clothes? Were these people who weren't used to wearing clothes supposed to wear clothes like Americans?" Such questions began to appear more and more absurd to me. And in all honesty, I had to confront them on the basis of Scripture, asking not, "What will people think?" or "What will it do to the work?" but "What does God specifically say?" What we must continually do is always keep coming back to the Word of God, examining our traditions and asking ourselves the question, does our tradition really line up with the Word of God? Is our tradition really in accord with the Scriptures? Are our traditions really in accord with the teaching of the Scriptures? Now there's one more point about the Sabbath. What is unlawful on the Sabbath is to be determined by the proper interpretation of the Word of God. And Jesus gives us some help here in this passage of Scripture. Jesus does not list all of the things that are unlawful on the Sabbath, but He establishes a principle. And that principle is that God allows some leniency, some mercy, and some grace in applying the fourth commandment. We as Christians are still bound to the fourth commandment, I believe. We are to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Some people don't think that the fourth commandment is still valid. people usually try to eliminate the fourth commandment from the sphere of Christian obligation by two contentions. The first contention is that the observance of the Sabbath went out along with the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament. The truth is that the Sabbath was instituted before there was any ceremonial law, and it continues forever till the end of the age. It is by divine example God established the Sabbath day during creation week. God rested on the seventh day of creation. The other argument against the binding authority of the fourth commandment is that Christ disregarded it, and that is not so. What Christ disregarded was only the rules that the scribes and Pharisees had made pertaining to the Sabbath day. Now, we don't celebrate the same day of the week as the Sabbath as they did in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they celebrated the seventh day as the Sabbath day. In the New Testament, and that would be Saturday. In the New Testament, we celebrate the first day of the week as the Sabbath day. The principle is the same, one day out of seven, but the day has changed from the seventh day to the first day of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week, and that is our Sabbath day. The word Sabbath means cessation or rest or interruption. To observe the Sabbath is to cease from the normal work activity of the other 6 days and to rest from work and get engaged in worship of the Creator. The reason we worship on the first day of the week is because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead on the first day of the week. It is a practice that was started on the day of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. You see it at the end of the Gospels, and you see it throughout the book of Acts. The apostles of Jesus Christ and the early church worshiped God and celebrated the resurrection of Christ on the first day of the week. That is why, that is when it changed, and that is why Sunday is our Sabbath day. The proper observance of the Sabbath day involves the cessation of the things that occupy our time for the other 6 days, normally our labor, and to devote this day to the worship of God and to rest. Christ proved from Scripture that certain types of work are legitimate on the Sabbath day. The Presbyterian Church has traditionally allowed that works of piety, works of necessity, and works of mercy are legitimate on the Sabbath day. Works of piety are those works performed in carrying out the worship service. Works of necessity are those that cannot be delayed without harm to life or property, such as, for one example, rescuing an ox that falls into a ditch, or putting out a fire. Works of mercy could involve acts of kindness to people who are sick or in distress. In all of this, God is the final judge. So it is our duty not to abuse the Sabbath day. But it seems to me that what Jesus teaches here is that God is merciful in applying the fourth commandment. When we observe the Sabbath day as it should be observed, it is a blessing, not a burden. It is not a day to dread, but a day of rest from labor and of joy and celebration of what we have in Jesus Christ. So let us observe the Sabbath day with joy and with gladness. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for establishing the Sabbath day for our good. Forgive us for the way that we have abused it. But let us observe it in accordance with your will and enjoy it to your glory. Amen.